We're going to talk to the men. How many of you ladies are very excited? And if you are in middle school, elementary school, if you're a kindergarten, et cetera, if you're a young person, you can head out to the back, follow Miss Joji. Miss Joji, again, it bugs me how happy those children are to be escaping. In Ephesians 5, we're going to talk to the men. And then next week, look right here for a second. Next week, if you want to mark it down, what I'm going to try and do is we wrap up chapter 5, and we're going to hit a little pause there, is I'm going to try and answer some questions. Okay, well, you know, my husband is unsaved. My wife is unsaved. you know, my husband was untrustworthy. My wife did this. Or I'm married, but I don't have children. Or, pardon me. Or I've got this question. Or I'm single. Or single again. I'm gonna try and weave some things here because as we've been speaking, or how do I act this out? Because this seemed like big steps, and so I want to try and be very, very practical. Answer maybe some of the top five questions about some of this, and help us. Where does grace enter? Where does forgiveness? I didn't know this when I was in my 20s. I didn't know this was in my 30s. Man, I wish I'd known this. Is it? Am I forever messed up? And the questions I've gotten over 30 years, and try and answer some of those, and fill it with grace, and what you can do from here on. I think of all places, a church is to be, a gospel church is to be a place, hey, come as you are, and watch how the Lord changes you. Isn't that true? And by the way, isn't that true for all of us? True to all of us? If you think you've arrived, I got news for you. There's room to go and to grow. So we want to help, and maybe in some special situations, I want to answer some of those things. And then it'll be time to talk about spiritual children, and we'll do that in a little while. Stand with us one more time. I'm excited, I'm ready, I'm revved up, and I'm under conviction because I'm talking to men. And today, we're going to take a rolling start. Verse 21, I think I've just got 22 up there. Submitting yourselves one another in the fear of God. Verse 22, wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands unto the Lord. Doesn't say men be subject to women. It says husbands and wives. There's a marriage relationship here. The husband's the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He's the Savior of the body. Therefore, is the church subject to Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands. And everything, submission, respect, honor, all of those kind of things to a loving, serving, leadership kind of a husband that's there. There's a lot we have unpacked. Verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. If you think 22, 23, and 24 is hard, 25 is a 2x4. You are to represent in your love to your spouse the sacrificial love that Jesus loved the church. She's supposed to honor and respect you in the Lord, and you're loving and respecting one another. Husbands, you set the mark. You do this, that he might want, sanctify and cleanse it, the washing of the water by the word, 27. He might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. No man ever yet hates his own flesh, but nourisheth, cherisheth, even as the Lord of the church. We're members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. This cause shall a man leave father and mother, be joined to his wife. They too will be one flesh, the uniting in marriage there. This is a great mystery, something we didn't understand before, but we understand better now. But I speak concerning Christ and his church. The mystery, I think he's talking about marriage and the relationship there. There's some discussion about that. We're not going to do that today. Verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular love his wife as himself, and the wife see that she reverence or respect her husband. Love and respect. And so, spirit-filled wives. Last week, spirit-filled husbands. And men today, would you pray with me? Father, front to back, left and right, the practicality of the scripture, help us to see, help us to laugh, help us to understand, help us to appreciate things. But more than that, Lord, convict us and change us. Help us to repent. Help us not to kick the can down the road. Help us instead to be ready to be transformed and to be constantly being transformed. Lord, we need spirit-filled men. We need spirit-filled ladies. We need folks who are getting ready for the next step in relationships. And Father, whether they've been married a minute, whether they've been married a long time, whether they're single, single again, whether they've been widowed, wherever they find themselves in the adjectives, Lord, we have this opportunity to be spiritually filled and controlled by you. And so that prepares us for relationships. That is the secret ingredient. And so I pray you'd help us. Use me. I pray, Father, may I speak clearly, enunciate well. May the things that we say today help us, Lord, to be spiritual in our family relationships. We pray it in your son's wonderful name, and amen. You can be seated. Be seated. I think you guys back there. I have it. All right. Spirit-filled family, spirit-filled husband. How many of you like me, you've got somebody who's inappropriate in your life, who says things that are awkward or make situations awkward? Anybody have anybody like that in your life? 1, 2, 3. How many of you, you are that person? All right, yeah. So I was, I think we were married, but it was a good time ago. And there was a guy in the church where we were serving at, and he liked to see me coming. And he would just say the goofiest things in church. And he'd say the goofiest things all kind of places, but specifically in church. And I was walking, I think I was supposed to preach that Sunday. I was filling in for the pastor, and I came in, and he said, "Preacher!" How many of you know if somebody yells at you with a goofy grin on your face, you just need to turn around and walk off? Anybody besides me? "Preacher!" I said, "Hey," and I called him by name. He said, "I got a question for you. You've been to school, haven't you?" I went, "No." "And you've been to school, haven't you?" He said, he put his arm around me. He's winking at his buddy beside of him. We're out in the lobby, and he goes, "Do you know why divorce costs so much?" And I went, "No." Of all the things I thought he was going to ask me, "No, I don't have any idea." He said, "Because they're worth it." Ha, 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 ha. And his buddy laughs, shakes his head. "You have to forgive him, preacher. He's an idiot." "I'm an idiot, but I'm right, aren't I?" Slaps me on the back. You know, if I'd have had gum, I'd have swallowed it. And off he goes. And it's everything in me not to change my sermon. Why idiots shouldn't smack the preacher. But anyway, and I'm there. I've gotten that sentiment over and over again, whether it's women's work or that's how we divide up things, or you know, somebody calling their wife the old lady, or again my personal favorite is yelling at the wife and all these kind of things. And through the years, it's a miracle I've not been put in jail, because it just gets my blood rolling when somebody says they're real spiritual but they act like they've never ever heard of any of this kind of stuff. Never heard any of this kind of stuff. And I'm like, man, what in the world is going on here? And why in the world have we taken from TV and from popular culture the way we're supposed to treat each other? And where did we ever get to where husbands in particular, are supposed to be just sacks of flour with a remote control on their hand, hoping everything else goes right? Where do we get that? Because that is not biblical. That's not biblical. There's a traditional marriage. You split things up. Somebody does this, somebody does that. And I like that idea. But I can one-up you. Not a traditional marriage, but a biblical marriage. And a biblical marriage is found in particular in passages like Ephesians chapter 5. Now, whether you're single again, whether you're wanting to be married again, whether you're glad you're not married, ha-ha, whatever you find yourself in those situations, you are who you're becoming. You just are. And to get ready and to model that. And so I want to help you. Now let me just take a quick poll. How many of you want to follow and be a spiritual person in your relationship? So the rest of you, we're preaching at you, and we're helping out here. We're helping out. He walks us through Ephesians 4, verse 1. He says, walk worthy. That's been the theme of this back half of the book. Ephesians 5, verse 1, be imitators of God, followers of God as dear children. 5:21, we read a second ago, I'm to be subject one to another. The whole tenor here, and I'm going to try and give you some help. The whole tenor is, I'm trying to outdo you. I'm seeking the other person's best, and I'm trying to honor the Lord Jesus Christ. One writer said it like this: if a husband loves his wife, sacrifices himself for her sake, as Jesus did for his church, then his wife will joyfully love him and sacrifice for herself in return. It is a reciprocal relationship. And the model there is what Jesus did for his church. You say, well, preacher, what if my spouse, what if the person I'm dating, what if my ex or whatever is involved in sin and those kind of things, or they're telling me to sin. They're telling me to lie on my taxes. They're telling me to defraud something. We have to be careful. We have to be careful. Just because a person has some leadership responsibility doesn't mean that things are unlimited. Doesn't mean that things are unlimited. We had some years ago, Andre and I were trying to help someone, and they had a parent who was trying to use them to get drugs and things like that. No, that's out of bounds here. That's out of bounds. Submission is under God's authority, delegated, that if they misuse that, then we object and we're sweet about it, but we refuse to do so. We're not to do that. So let me give you four big words here, four tough words rather, not big words. Talking about headship and authority and leadership and responsibility. When you say the Bible is anti-women, I would almost argue with you that the Bible is hostile toward modern man. Because there's a huge expectation here. Time out. You say, preacher, I read all that. I heard all that. I know what you're about to do. And let me remind you, spiritual people have to be filled and controlled by the Spirit. If you're going to get anywhere close to some of these things, if you're going to make any progress, it's going to be the Spirit of God's help. It's going to be the Word of God being at home in your life, and the Spirit of God using the Word of God to help you act and live like you're in the presence of the Son of God. And so I want to challenge you here. John Stott said famously this passage, this is not chauvinism. This is creationism. This is the order that God created. This is what he expects to be done. I don't think I have it in your notes there, but you can write it out. He's calling men in particular to be servant leaders. To be servant leaders. I am thankful. I'm thankful for the miracle what God's done in our place. We have so many men who've stepped up, learning Scripture, serving behind the scenes, serving in front of the thing. I am thrilled. The norm in churches seems like the ladies do everything and the men grunt and complain and stand around and tell inappropriate things in the lobby and smack the preacher on the back. I'm glad God has given some of you that desire to step up and to go forward. I'm glad again, it's unusual. We've got more men's groups than we have ladies' groups, more men who are studying the Scriptures, more men who are inviting people. I am thrilled for that. That is the life that you are called to do, whether you're single or single again. You get to do this. There's the two keys that are there. Wife, you're to support and honor the husband through respect, and the husband, you're to cherish and honor the wife. Let me see if I can get them on the screen here. There we go. You're to do these kind of things. You're both honoring one another. You both. And so you have that love and respect that's there. And if you've never gone through that series, again, it's a beautiful thing. We've done it a couple of times here. I have it available. If you'll text or email me, I'll send you a login. You can walk through that. And I would encourage you. It's a tremendous thing, love and respect. And we may do it again in the spring. And we want to do that. So the husband, you're to do this. You're to cherish and honor your wife. And do that. And get that picture here. Honey, I need some sweet tea. Not a bad request, but she's not honoring and respecting you. She's just honoring and respecting the fact that either you worked a long day and you're tired, and or you're just cruising for a bruising. And that's traditional marriage, and not biblical marriage. Not biblical marriage. Andre and I had to deal when we were both working, you know, one cook, the other clean. I've kind of avoided that since I got sick, and I haven't reminded her that I've forgotten how to do that. And so she taught Riley how to load the dishwasher. I'm going to thank the Lord the kids are finally paying off. And we're here, and I'm being silly because we're so serious about some things. I want to remind you here. Man, you do that. There ought to be nobody in the world who makes more over your spouse than you do. Nobody. Nobody. You read these verses and you see chauvinism and all that other jazz, you're missing. You're absolutely missing. So the keys, we're doing this. So the husband, you cherish and honor. You do this. They're to biblically love. Two ideas here, and I'm going to give you the five ideas of love. We'll be done, all right? Husbands are to biblically love and honor their wives. That's it. Just a one-point sermon. I've got five descriptors, but one point. That's all. Husbands love their wives. I'd stop right now and have an altar call, and every man who's thought about this would just come. I've been working on this for 2 or 3 weeks, and I'm just so convicted. I bought a new book. Andreas Kostenberger supposedly wrote a really good book, and I started reading it. I'm like, this is not a good book. It's a terrible book. Terrible book. I feel so bad. I'm like chapter 2, and I'm like, why I spent $13 on a book made me feel bad. And reading this book, and I'm here. I'm here, man. I'm just struggling. Again, time out. Some of this is the biblical ideal. Some of you are going, man, I did those things, and my husband still was an idiot and still sinned. I did those things. My wife still was an idiot and still sinned. I said it last week. Sin messes up everything. And every now and then, you've done everything, and they still hurt everybody, and it's still a mess. I'm glad at the end of that mess, there's grace. I'm glad at the end of that hurt, there's forgiveness. I'm glad at the end of that, God is there doing something that we can't do and bringing beauty from ashes. Breathe from ashes. By the way, I've known people married 30 and 40 years who can't stand each other, but they're too lazy to do anything about it. They are vicious and venomous toward one another, but they would still technically be married. But there's no marriage there because there's no love, there's no honor, there's no respect. I've seen folks, man, they still got the hardware on their hands, but they got hatred in their heart. You can color this any way you want. You think I'm picking on you? I promise I'm not. We got asked the other day, how can we pray for you and Andre as a couple? We both looked at it, both said the same thing. We're 26 years in. We're learning a new stage of life. Kids are getting older. And we got to make sure that we've got more to our marriage than just making sure that the kids don't starve to death. We got to go forward, deeper committed, more spiritual, more loving, more biblical. We've got to do those kind of things. That makes me feel funny hearing the preacher say that. It ought to make you feel funny if the preacher didn't say that. Man, we got to make sure these things are right. We got to dig in. We can't just be lazy and coast. That's how you mess up. That's how you get in a huge mess. I'm to do this. There's two things here I think are implied or spelled out in the passage, and I'll offer them to you, and I want to give you the scriptures of love. You still with me? I mean, how many of you think this is different than TV and different than movies and different than the guys at the barbershop and the ladies at the beauty parlor or at Joy's beauty parlor? She was telling me how she cut my hair when she cut Bobby. I'm like, okay. She didn't say that. Preacher, why do you say you're bald all the time? Because the first time in my life I can wash my hair with a washcloth. And that hurts my feelings. I used to have to shower because I had thick, luxurious, I thought, coarse hair. I got nothing now. I don't even have to have the washcloth wet. It can just be damp. Damp. I can rub it over and comb it. And I'm on my way. I haven't bought any hairspray yet. I almost used Andre the other day just to see what it felt like. Then I was worried it would get tacky, and then I'd have the flakes, and people going, oh, that man's got dandruff, and he's bald. And a bald man with dandruff I thought would make my way on the social media, and I didn't want to do that. And so we're here. So you'd be a spiritual leader. Spiritual leader. Say, nobody ever taught me. We're going to help you. That's your job. I'm gonna show you. That's your opportunity. You'd be a spiritual leader, and you'd be a spiritual example. Spiritual leader and a spiritual example. What's a spirit-filled person to be? Spirit-filled man supposed to be? Spirit-filled husband supposed to be? He gets to be this. I, for years and years, I've used this definition of love. True love is seeking the best for the object love. You say, well, marriage is hard. Marriage is tough. Being single's hard. Dating's hard again. Man, it's just whatever. It's just a mess and all. I remind you how bad it was when Paul's writing this letter. Historians have told us, Demosthenes is quoted, we have courtesans for the sake of pleasure. We have concubines for the sake of daily cohabitation. We have wives for the purpose of having children legitimately and having a faithful guardian for all our household affairs. He was a nice fellow. Xenophon said it was the husband's aim that a wife might see as little as possible, hear as little as possible, and ask as little as possible. How do you think that'd fly nowadays? Similarly, Socrates said, is there anyone to whom you entrust more serious matters than to your wife? And is there anyone to whom you talk to less? Pagan marriage was a shambles. particularly in Ephesus. The ancient pagan man simply lived and breathed adultery. The marriage bond was basically worthless. It was a little ahead of the Jews, but not much. The liberal sect of the Jews, the Pharisees in particular, of the Hillel school, said you could divorce and leave your wife for anything. Burning the bread, soup is cold, too much food, too much salt on your food, or simply you got older, wait for it, and you started showing some wrinkles. He could put you out, nothing, no support, and you'd be marked and branded as unmarriable because this man deemed you unworthy. Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit, says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. See, I ain't real crazy about those other verses. You get off easy compared to what he tells the fellas to do. You are to be leaders. You are to be examples. What is that going to look like? What's this love kind of look like here? I got about 12 minutes here. Let's go. Number one, it looks like it's sacrificial. Sacrificial. Still with me? Say amen. Amen. Sacrificial. To surrender. To show humility. If the wife is called to honor and respect, the husband is called to die. He should be the first to apologize, the first to forgive, the quickest one to serve. When you look at these kind of things, and as a husband in his loving leadership, as he does these things, he is called to emulate the sacrifice of Christ. You're in there in verse 25. Husband, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. If all you ever do is receive in your relationship, you haven't got your head scratched around this. By the way, and nothing changes because you stand in front of a judge or a preacher and you say, I do. You got to learn to start dying now. I'm convinced. And again, all my years of working with young people and college people and folks in their 20s and stuff like that, you are becoming the person that you are today. And if you want to get this relationship and have this kind of thing, man, it starts now. And I do think there's some gravity that comes from getting married. I think there's some seriousness that comes with having children and all that, if God blesses you that way. But you're now, I'm willing to do this. I'm willing, and it starts vertically, submitting to God, and then I can do this other and sacrifice to my wife. I'm so overwhelmed by the delayed adolescence. And men come home so they can hide from their families. And they come home so they can play games, and watch TV, and do all these kind of things, and not hit a lick. And then they complain, oh, my wife, she would nag all the time. Well, that's a last resort, isn't it? You said love, honor, and cherish. And then you get home, and it's the last thing in the world. There's to be a priority that's there. We were married, and Allison was born, and I think it was right before Riley would come. Riley was born and screamed for several years, and he had colic. I don't believe in demons possessing babies, but I almost reconsidered. I'd had a bad day, tough day. Church we were serving at was just brutal. Preacher eater kind of church, and just they had some bad habits. I remember coming home, and I was going to come home we lived across the street from the church, and I just walked the block a couple of times. I couldn't come home. I couldn't come home empty. I couldn't come home and crush her with everything. I had to come. I had to save something. And because we lived so close, and people just in and out all the time, I never forget. We got where I'm still pretty bad about taking time off. But anyway, and I remember we would just leave like at lunch on Friday, and we would drive out of town, and we'd go eat a restaurant because that was the only time I'd kind of relax. And I remember just focusing. And every Friday evening we'd come back, and I'd feel guilty because it was like the first time in weeks I'd given my family my priority, and that was so convicting to me. Why? Because family's not to be superficial. Your spouse, your relationships are not. Men, you are called to die. You're called to be sacrificial in your love. You're called to be cleansing in your love, sanctifying. You may have heard the first. Maybe you haven't heard the other. Verse 26. If you've got it there, if you got the notes, look at it. That he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of the water, with the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle, anything that should be holy and without blemish. You are to encourage the growth in your spouse. You're to encourage them intellectually and spiritually and emotionally. You're to be a praying husband. Let me ask you, are you praying for your spouse? Are you praying for your kids? Are you praying for the kids you might have? Are you praying for your nieces and nephews? Has your wife ever stumbled in on you calling her name in prayer? You are to be encouraging her spiritual growth. The word there, he makes sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water. The word, it's a familiar word to some of you. It's the word rhema. R-H-E-M-A is how it's transliterated. It's not the written word. It's the internalized word. It's the memorized word. He's in the scripture. He's learning the Bible. And he's using what he's learned to positively impact his spouse. Let me tell all of you that are dating again. You look for a man who knows some Bible. Somebody say amen to that. You look for somebody who is ready to perform what he's learned. He's quick to forgive. He's quick to pray. He's got some scripture that he's tucked away. He wants to do this. He wants to see her clean and keep her clean. She's precious to him. She's precious to him. One of my mentors, as far as I know, his first wife passed. He's remarried again. As far as I know, he turned 90 yesterday. As far as I know, he still opens the door for his wife. I asked him, why are you opening the door for your wife? He said, just a little reminder, she's precious. Courtesy. R. Kent Hughes says there's three pictures going on here. I give them to you quickly. He said there's a Hebrew picture that's here. It's the day of the ladies' betrothal and the marriage. And she awakes and she's got her attendants that are there. And they start the day with a nuptial bath. And she has these folks that are here. And in her adult life, she's never been more clean. She's never looked better and never smelled better. She has been washed this way by others. There's a second idea that's here. And this is the prophetic picture. This is where, with the preaching of the word, if you're a member of the church of the Lord, you have been washed from your sins by the word. And you are completely justified. And he is sanctifying and changing you. It's a picture of the return of Christ when we will be perfectly right with him. There's the marital picture. The woman who's grown to be more like Jesus, hopefully, because of the influence of her husband and her influence in his life. They've grown closer to Jesus together. As God's word and God's spirit filled him, he's lived out the ethics of the kingdom. As her loving head, he served and prayed for her and adored her with unconditional love. His authenticity encouraged her onward and upward in the beauty of the soul. All of this that's there, you say, preacher, why are you preaching it? Because it's so strange in 2022. It's about me. It's about me being cutting. It's about me joking and goofing around. It's about me giving half measures. And we have been called as spiritual people to give our all to those that God has put in our life. It's a picture. He said, this is what God is doing in the follower, in his followers, and he will one day present them there. It's a forgiving love. It's a nourishing love. It's a nourishing love. One pastor I heard say one time said he'd been married about 18 months. He said my wife had better grades in school. She had more degrees than I did. Excuse me. But my interactions with her had caused her to have self-doubt and lose her self-worth. He said, and this wonderful, confident young woman I had so bewildered. He said it was the very opposite of nourishing. The preacher, my situation I'm in, there's a health issue, there's this issue. Temporary time, temporary things. Again, traditional versus biblical. Don't miss that. No man ever what? So man, excuse me, verse 28. So ought men to love their wives, their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. No man ever hates his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. The way a man treats his wife reflects a lot about his own character, his integrity, and self-respect. We're to be nourishing. It's to be a satisfying love. Be a satisfying love. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. You got your Bible, flip over there. 1 Peter 3, 7. You got your Bible, your tablet, your phone. Excuse me. If I blow my nose real loud, I'm going to wake some of you up. I'll try not to do that. 1 Peter 3, 7. 1 Peter 3, 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wives unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Some of you can't get through to heaven because you're not right with your spouse. Ugh. What's he say? He says, dwell with them according to knowledge. Archie Ratliff, longtime pastor of the Bethel Church in Kinston, North Carolina, said famously, every man needs to know two things. He needs to know what makes his wife tick and what makes her ticked. How many men would say that? What makes her tick and what makes her tick? Some of you wives, you've never taken so many notes. Some of you men going, will you please be quiet? Need to know what makes her tick and ticked. Satisfying. If you're trying to outdo one another, that's going to be a pretty fun marriage. If you're trying to make sure they're taken care of, again, not your job, make them happy. That's their relationship with the Lord. That's too big a job for you. But I will spend my life honoring you. I'll spend my life respecting you. I'll spend my life sacrificially loving you. I'll spend my life trying to help you be a better believer. I'll spend my life making sure that you know how valuable you are. I will spend my life learning about you and investing in your life. And then it's finally, I'm done. It's a witnessing love. Witnessing love. Where do you see that? Where do you see that? Verse 30. For we are members of his body and of his flesh. Excuse me, of his body, of his flesh, of his bones. For this cause shall man leave father and mother, shall be joined to his wife, they two be one flesh. This is a great mystery. I speak concerning Christ and the church. The way you treat one another tells a lost world and models for a lost world about Christ's love for the church. Christ is the head. We all operate underneath of it. Equal value, equal dignity, equal worth, elevated status, wonderful children of his. And we serve him. And in our homes, because God has saved us, we are pouring in each other and we're loving one another and we're fighting to make sure that those are the priorities, and we're praying for one another and we're modeling, we're learning Scripture and we're acting out the Scripture in our life. And that relationship shows to a lost world things are different when you are controlled by the Spirit of God. When Jesus is the one who makes the third part of your house, things are different. So you're saying you can't have an okay relationship without, yeah, I think you can learn skills and you can practice things. I think you can have lots and lots of things. But you will never know what's here in Ephesians without the help of the Spirit of God. And it doesn't take two to be married to have a biblical home. It takes three. It takes the people who love each other, who love God, and Jesus being the center focus point of that home. I love to read historical biography. I've been trying to learn more and more about Churchill. I'd learned some before I got sick, and I've forgotten a good bit, so I've redone some things. And I got a hold of a series of quotations, source of quotations. I've been thumbing through those. I came across this one a few weeks ago, and I thought it was so good. Churchill and Lady Churchill were at a dinner. This is after the war, and they'd had some rocky moments for sure in their marriage, and in particular, when their daughter passed. They were, what would you like to be? It was kind of a after-meal game at this kind of fancy meal. And he was going to be the last one. And so it got to him, if you could be anyone else, who would you be? And he thought, and he stood up. He said, if I could not be the man I am today. And he said, and he paused for effect. He was a tremendous speaker. So he looked down and grabbed his wife's hand. He said, I would very much like to be Lady Churchill's second husband. The commentator said, or the biographer said, in Prime Minister Churchill for sure gained a few points bragging on his wife like that. It's obvious when we hear something like that, hey, that was the right move to do. But the Monday through Saturday, the late for work and bad day at work, all of the normalities of life fight against the poetic moments we want to strive for. Let me remind you, he didn't ask for poetry in those verses. He said, love. Your love, informed by the Spirit of God, should start having these components. And your lovingness will bring about, Lord, hopefully, reciprocity. And the two of you together, loving and respecting one another, helps you to have a Spirit-filled marriage and relationship. Be the man who is controlled by the Spirit of God. Would you pray with me right now? Father, we love you. Lord, there's so much here, so much I want to say, but for time's sake, Lord, I just ask you to help us. I ask you to help us get these foundational things in. That's what we need. And God, for every family in this room, there's somebody in their family, somebody close to them where sin's messed them up.